Burki, the author of the biography Living Without Fear and the co-publisher of the Amazon best-selling Inspire Journeys. Get in touch with me if you want to start living without fear. And please share this podcast with a friend who you know needs to hear this episode. Subscribe to my newsletter and YouTube channel, write a short review and rate it on your favorite podcast platform with a lot of stars if you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for your support. This truly means a lot to me. And today I'm so excited to have Robin Parr with me. She's a master energy healer and medical intuitive. She helps creative entrepreneurs make tons of money with fun and ease by pinpointing and shifting the root causes of their money blocks. As a medical intuitive, she's able to scan bodies to uncover physical imbalances and works with clients to create unconditional health. She taught Bikram yoga for 10 years and has a deep connection to health and bodies, but always coupled with a great sense of humor. Robin is a mother to an 11-year-old son and has been living in Amsterdam for over 20 years. Welcome to the show, dear Robin.
Thank you so much, Esther.
Let's start with my question I always start with and I really love. What has been your turning moment in life, Robin?
Oh, it's a really good question. I'd have to say it was when my son was born. He was about 1 year old, and one of my students had, she was a grandmother, she read palms, she was a palmist, and every day she was in class practicing camel pose. She said she would be taken back to a trauma where she was in the prison in Buenos Aires during the coup, and she was pregnant and gave birth. So every day she went to my class, I was very pregnant, and she would be reliving basically and healing from this trauma. So when my son was one, she said, please, 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 Robin, can I give you a present for him by reading his palm? And I thought, this is a fantastic gift. And after she read his palm, she said, would you like your palm read as well? So yes, of course. She read my palm and she looked at some lines and said, oh, within about 2 years, you're going to have a vision. And I was teaching Bikram yoga at the time. And 2 years went by, and my husband at the time kept asking, did you have your vision? 3 years went by, and how did you have your vision? About 4 years went by. And I thought, now, you know, never mind. Like, it was a good hope that there's something special would come out of my life. And one day after my husband came home from a healing, I had sent him to this woman. I thought, well, he needed some help with something on his back. He came home and shared this touching story. I started crying. I thought, oh my gosh, I want this too. And I went to her therapy space for basically a theta healing session or an energy healing session. And it was in that moment, it was like, bam, you know how it's like, you know, this is what I've come to do. This is the thing I've been praying for. It took maybe 6 years from the time that I had gotten that palm reading. But it was like, that's what I came to do, to be an intuitive healer. And when I got home, I told my husband at the time, he said, like, oh, but a vision you have in your dream. I was like, but I was in theta state, you know, like it was this dream state. I said, I know this is what I'm here to do. And because I was raised very Catholic from a dad who was a deacon, I had, you know, at age 14, I wanted nothing to do with my dad. I wanted nothing to do with Catholic Church. I was so against God, was a really bad word in my household or in my world. So for me to go from all that, let's say, negative thoughts or programming around what God and church was, to to basically rearrange my whole life to be somebody that is now a spiritual teacher and works with God every day. And yeah, it took a lot of healing, a lot of reprogramming, let's say. So yeah, I would say probably the biggest turning point in my life.
Have there been there others recently?
Yeah, well, I mean, this one is much more fresh. So I was on vacation in August in America, and I got an email from my ex-husband that he was now living in Portugal, and we have a son, and we shared custody of the son. So it basically meant that the moment I got back from America, 3 days before I was going to leave on a vacation to Asia without my son for a month, I had to figure out basically what I was going to do with a kid. So it's twofold. One of them is I got a hold of a friend moved into my house. She took care of my kid and they had the best time together. So I had to learn really fast how to ask for support and to receive it. But because of this experience and the issues going on with, what do you call that, child support and feeling unsupported and feeling anger and all the things that have come up, I've been taking it almost every single day. Anything that comes up, like, I don't want to get hooked emotionally by anything that somebody else is doing. You know, I want to be so free in my life that nobody has any power over me. So every day something will pop up, and then I will examine it. I'll look, where does it come from? Who is this reminding me of? I'll reprogram, you know, the beliefs that are popping up. And I know, like, each day I can feel more and more this feeling like nobody around me is wrong. It's like I'm really being able to take responsibility. This is my life. I get to feel the way I feel. And I can respond graciously, you know, generously with even people that a couple of weeks ago still felt to me like the bad guy, or, you know, the one that's doing something to me. So this has been also a really big one.
Wow, beautiful. And if someone is coming to you and said, I feel stuck, what are you doing with this person?
So when I was 20, something like that, I came to Amsterdam for a week because I'm actually American. I came to Amsterdam for a week and I looked at these beautiful men on bikes and I said, I want one. And I looked at these beautiful houses and I said, I want one. And those cute bikes, I want one. And I thought, well, what am I going to do with my life? And being an American, one of the, let's call it very American things, is I wanted to be famous. And I decided I wanted to be a famous fashion designer. So I said, I'm going to study fashion. I'm going to be a famous fashion designer. I'm going to move here. And I told my mom when I got home a week later. And 2 months later, I had all my suitcases packed and I was immigrated to Amsterdam. And after a few years, I studied fashion. I became a famous fashion designer, was winning all kinds of prizes in Holland and Paris, and actually didn't really care about the fashion. Like, I just love bodies, you know? So actually the thing, I loved painting bodies. I loved everything about bodies. But at that time, being an American, thinking that's what I should do is become famous. That's the path I took. And this has been something, when clients come to me and they say, I feel stuck or I feel blocked, I know what it's like to have a dream and to go after it. I'm the best, let's find a dream and go for it kind of person. So when someone comes to me and they feel blocked or stuck, the first thing we'll do is we'll start asking what really lights them up. And so much of the time when somebody has been shut down at a very young age for wanting something, it can be quite painful, even the thought, like, what do I really want? And a lot of people, especially lately, and also women who have put all their needs aside, maybe their mothers, or they've sacrificed themselves for somebody else's whatever, will work on uncovering all the ways where they decided that they weren't allowed to do the things they want. They weren't supposed to do things for themselves. And I will work with them in a hypnotic way, also through a body scan. We'll do work with the neuroscience. I'll use all my tools. Sometimes people come in person, and I'll do hands-on body work to shift anything that's blocking someone. Like recently, I had a guy come to me, and he actually was wondering like what he should be doing with his life. And maybe two sessions later, he came back and he said, "Oh, by the way, a little side note, I was smoking 5 to 7 cannabis joints a day, every day. And that stopped." Like after a session, he said, "I haven't wanted to smoke again." And it's kind of a funny, what do you call it, side effect of the work I do with people, is that it's not the first person that's quit their hash or weed addiction after working with me. And I see always this correlation that for some people, it's so painful not to know what they want and not to be living their life in honor of what they want, that they have to do something to cope, eat or smoke or drink or depression, whatever it is. There's some ways people have to cope, and for the pain of, you know, not leading the life that you really came here to lead.
Beautiful. And what did happen to this guy later after more sessions, or has it been recently?
It was very recently. So, I mean, the first thing he said is, "I quit the cannabis addiction." He said, "I've become much more magnetic." He said, "People just come to me. You know, they're more attracted to me. They come and talk to me more." And he said, and this was another kind of a, what do you call it? Like a side effect. He said, "I've been getting these jobs." He used to have like one, what do you call the person who gives you work? One assignment, employer, you know? And he said, after our sessions, he said, "I'm starting to get out of nowhere, out of the blue, there's people offering me different positions and different jobs. So no longer do I have to stay with just the one person. I can branch out." So yeah. And I just want everyone to live the life of their dreams. So I love it. You know, he said, "I don't know. I don't spend time doing the things that you do, Robin. You know, I'm just obsessed with helping people unblock stuff." So he's like, "I'm so happy you love doing what you do, because I sure don't spend time thinking about these things or doing these things." And I noticed it with a friend recently. She's kind of obsessed with meridians. And I go to her for shiatsu and I said, "It's amazing. I'm so glad that you obsess about meridians, because I'd love to go to you for this meridian work. And I'm obsessed with beliefs and changing limitations and helping people live the lives of their dreams, you know, and this is all I think about and all I want to talk about and work with people on, like all day, every day."
Beautiful. And for example, I remember when I started writing my first book, or I handed over my first children's book to my father. He said, "But you can't earn money with books, can't you? Did you do some research how you can earn money? How about if people get stuck also in this, what other people say, or maybe what they believe also a little bit, as I did?"
But oh, no. I have one of those fathers too. And whenever clients come to me and talk about the people around them who are poo-pooing their ideas or the naysayers, the first thing I try to remind them is, get yourself out of that group or that situation. And either, if possible, surround yourself with somebody who does write books, who does make money with writing. And if you can't surround yourself with them because you didn't, let's say in that time you didn't know a professional writer who made money, I said, follow them on Instagram. You know, like Elizabeth Gilbert, who's making money with her books, I would say, make sure your consciousness has somebody around you, and hope, and preferably somebody with your background, maybe the limitations you think you have, like, "Oh, they have to be a single mom who was raised in this way, or whatever it is that you think is stopping you from being a maybe a money earning writer. I always say surround yourself so that your subconscious can see proof that it's possible. I call it an expander. Make sure to have your expanders. Like with me, I'm a healer, I'm a medical intuitive, and I have a tribe of people. I have close friends who are medical intuitives, and I make sure to find friends who are making money doing what I do. And I also make sure to have people in my network who are millionaires, making lots and lots of money in being a healer, you know, being a therapist, being a coach, doing the things that I do, so that I can see it's possible.
Do you have other stories about people, how you could help them to get unstuck?
Let's see. Yesterday, I had the most amazing client come in yesterday. There was this thing that kept coming up, and we hadn't really worked on it. It was about when she was 16, her dad ignored her for a year. So she was in her parents' house, and her dad was giving her the silent treatment for some little thing. And it was kind of this, we could tell it had left a really negative imprint on her, especially with relationship to men. And yesterday she said that she had applied for 8 jobs, and at every last interview, she was rejected or she wasn't chosen. And so when I started the session, so I actually use some things called clean questions. And you can use this thing called clean language. You can Google search it, clean language. And they're questions like, and what are you drawn to? So if somebody comes, they can start talking from their head what they want to work on. But when I ask clean questions, I like to bring people into their body so that they stay connected to what their body is asking to focus on. And when I asked this woman, we came to the feeling that she had that she was being ignored. And so the first thing that I was thinking, oh, we're going to go back to age 16 when her dad ignored her. But I know that most of our programming got created before age 6. So I asked her to go even further. And what I'll do is I'll find the spot that she looks with her eyes when I ask a certain question. And she said, yeah, my dad was outside. It was a Saturday and he was grumpy. But that moment when I was happy and he was grumpy, I just made it mean that it's not okay to have fun. And if other people are sad, I can't be happy. You know, these things. And when we reprogrammed it, she had a big cry. And then we did some more work reprogramming it so that she didn't feel like it was normal or that she deserved it, that people would ignore her like that. The amount of puzzle pieces that fell into place after that session, where she realized that she'd been tolerating relationships with guys who would give her the silent treatment. She would basically find people that seemed like her dad that wouldn't express themselves and would repress their feelings and project it onto her. So the amount of things that were shifting, and she's somebody who makes already 50, 60, 70,000 euros a month. And because she wants to start making 1 million euros a month, she knows that it's all those little things of worthiness. She knew that there was something blocking her feeling of being worthy of receiving. And it's funny how no matter what topic we're working on, if we have these little things in childhood that I kind of weed out with people, it'll block us from having the big wins or even the small wins, but the feeling of ease, the feeling of no stress, the feeling of joy that is possible when they get moved out of the way and reprogrammed.
And if someone doesn't have the possibility to talk to someone like you, what kind of questions do you think can this person ask herself or himself to dig deeper what's on for this person?
So I would Google search the clean questions, first of all, just to stay in touch with the body. So there's something like, and where is fill in the blank? So I might say, and what are you drawn to? And when I connect to my body, I might notice this heaviness around my chest. And then I might ask myself a question, and where is the heaviness around my chest? And then something might come up, and I might just type it out or write it out to myself. And then I might ask something like, and where does the heaviness in my chest come from? And so just by connecting to myself, I'll feel these, let's say, the feelings. And then I start to notice, okay, so today I'm feeling heaviness in my chest. And then I might, just in writing, notice that my attention keeps getting drawn to a situation with a colleague or an interaction I have with someone. So the very first thing I start to ask myself is, what is the feeling or emotion in my body when I feel that, when I connect to that moment? And once I start getting present to that feeling, I'm going to explain something here, and I don't know if it's easy to pick up if I explain it. So for those listening, I'm doing your best. Exactly. This is like the gold. So if you can pick this up, you have the keys to the kingdom. So I will ask myself a question like, what makes me believe that I'm, let's say the feeling that got brought up was that nobody takes me serious. So then I'll ask myself out loud, almost sometimes I'll even put a video on to record myself. And I will say to myself, what makes me believe, or why do I think that nobody takes me seriously? And the very first second after I ask the question, my eyes will often dart to a place. I'll look just briefly somewhere, left, right, up, down. And the moment my eyes dart somewhere, I keep them focused in that spot. And then I start pulling the unconscious image forward. So it might take a while, because consciously I don't have any visuals. But when I start asking questions like, is there someone, is it a person, is it a place, is it a situation, is it color, is it black and white, is it moving, is it still? And as I ask for more clarity, I might start to feel somebody's feelings. Like I might feel, oh, my mom was there and she was upset. And then I'll start noticing how my feelings are with relationship to the people in the scene. And the most important question is I ask myself, what did I decide, or what did I make that mean about me? And what did I make that mean about life? And then I get my pen and paper out, and that's the gold. So I start writing, oh, I made it mean that nobody takes me seriously, or I have to work really hard to be taken seriously, whatever those meanings are. And a lot of the times I know I'll hit the right spot, because there'll be really deep-seated beliefs that I think are true about me, and it'll make me start crying. And after I get clear on all the beliefs, I'll do reprogramming work. And this is really like, as you know about encapsulation, it's like all the things that happened before a certain age, or let's say when something happened, let's say something happened at age 3 that made me feel like I can't take myself seriously, then anytime that feeling gets triggered where, oh, here it is again, I revert back into a 3-year-old brain that hasn't developed further than that because of encapsulation. So once I identify that moment, I will find a spot that I'm going to squeeze on my arm, and I will start teaching that little version of me a better truth, basically to rewire the neurology so that there's not just one pathway of trauma, but there's a lot of new rewirings. Like I'm easy to be taken seriously, or I deserve to be taken seriously. And every time I will reprogram something, I'll squeeze a spot to anchor it into that younger version of myself. Let's see. So these are neurolinguistic programming techniques. I'm sure that if someone's listening and they want more details how to, let's say, work on themselves, and they were to search for NLP anchoring techniques, they could probably find it. And I think once you learn it, you'll never go back, because it's the most fast and easy and effective way to reprogram that I found, especially with clients. It's like life-changing, and it takes like 5 minutes for a lot of people. It's incredible how fast it works and how deeply it works as well.
I love it. Something last, maybe what you'd like to share with our audience? Your Let's own see. Truth or?
So what I notice, especially the more I reprogram and uncover and unblock in myself, is that it's almost always the things that came the most naturally, the most easily, which are the most unique gifts. And so when I'm working with someone who's trying to figure out what they're supposed to do with their life or what they're good at or what are their gifts, it's always the questions about what did you like to do when you were little that will bring the greatest gifts. And it can be as simple as, I like to dance in the kitchen to loud music, or I like to sing silly songs with my friends, or I like to play with horses outside. Those things are usually keys to highlighting whatever it is that someone is uniquely gifted at and comes naturally and automatically to them. So for anybody who's trying to figure out what they're supposed to do with their life or what their gifts are, I would always say, start looking at what you were doing between the ages of 2 up till 7. What were the things that really drew your attention? That's where the magic is.
Thank you so much, Robin. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It's been fun.
And thank you, dear listener, for spending your precious time with us today. And in case you feel worthless today and nobody seems to like you, we tell you, you're amazing, we love you, and you are a gift to everyone who crosses your path. And please tell yourself these sentences over and over again. Have an amazing day, and talk to you next week.